This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
Oh, it's a Friday indeed, everybody. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. It has been, for me at least, I want to speak for my compatriots here, it's been a very quick week. Got to Friday in a hurry, and I'm glad for that. I feel like this week has flown by. I thought we've had some really, really excellent shows this week. Major Garrett was in hanging out for a full show. We've had a good time, and today's going to be a great one, too. No question about it. So, excited to be here on a Friday. You got a big scary series coming up in Colorado. Shouldn't be, but it absolutely is. We will talk about that. Good to be here with my brothers, Paulie Reindl. Paulie is the executive producer of the program. Good morning, Paulie.
Hey, how are you?
Doing great. Ben Higgins, your friendly neighborhood sports anchor, joins us. Well, good morning, Benjamin.
Good morning. We have made it to Friday.
We did. And how was everyone's night off of Padres baseball last night? I missed it, certainly, but it does allow me the opportunity to hate watch, which I enjoy. I enjoy hate watching. About as much as I enjoy love watching. I really like to watch two teams I don't like playing each other. I love hate watching the Dodgers. I'll admit it right now. I love it. It's fantastic. Watching Yamamoto serve up a grand slam was almost as good as watching Manny hit a grand slam. I thought it was fantastic. I'm a generational hater, though. So.
You know, it's funny. I actually took a night off of sports watching last night.
Whoa.
I mean, I got home from work, and the NBA game wasn't all that entertaining with Steph Curry out. Yep. And,
you like Steph Curry.
I do, but he's out, so I couldn't watch
him. You like
him.
A lot of things.
You like a lot of stuff.
Oh, I do. That's true. But, so we just sat down, threw on a cooking competition show on Netflix, and watched that for, about 90 minutes, and then I got tired, and that was about it. Went to bed. It was a quiet night at home.
I'm actually kind of blown away, because I take a lot of nights off of sports. I do, and I'm a sports radio host. But I take a lot of nights off of sports. Not really baseball season, though. But there'll be times in the fall where I'm so busy, I'm like, I didn't see any college football today. I didn't see any pro football. And Bo's got games, Taylor's got games, so I'm out. Like,
I thought about throwing on the Dodgers Diamondbacks game, but I just felt like, we're going to see both of those teams a ton the rest of the season. I don't need to watch them again tonight. I'll read the recap when it's over.
Yeah. Well, you didn't miss much. You're in one of those weird positions, too, where, like, technically you need the Dodgers to win that. You do. You don't want the Arizona Diamondbacks. You don't want them getting hot. You know the Dodgers are going to be hot. So logic would say, I really need the Dodgers to win. I can't do it. There's no way that I can sit there. I like when they lose. I really, really do. I like when they lose. Paulie, what did you do last night?
A little bit in between where both of you guys were at. I was following some of the baseball, but kind of just
cooked sports
on the iPad.
Uh-huh. You cooked sports.
I cooked sports.
Cooked sports last night.
I was mostly catching up on some shows.
Like?
Thursday is new episode of Hacks.
Okay.
So, got up on that. Conan O'Brien has a documentary series on Max. Conan Goes somewhere, and it's he like travels around the country or around the world, and so they just had a new season start yesterday.
I want that
gig.
To Spain. Is that not the dream?
It's the dream gig.
You get famous enough that you can pitch. Hey, I'd like to do a series where you send me to phenomenal places.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I spend about an hour a day talking about them on camera, and then the rest of the day, I'm eating and sightseeing and staying in a 5-star hotel and just enjoying myself during this 3-week shoot that we're on in some far-flung tropical or European locale. That is absolutely
the dream.
Yeah, Stanley Tucci had a show.
Oh, yeah.
Where it was
Stanley
like,
Tucci eats Italy or something. Yeah. Like, come on.
You know what, Stanley? It's a great idea. On the house, we got you. We're going to put you up. We're going to give you the best. He's like, what kind of good fortune is that, man? It's great. It's great. I did, like I said, I watched some baseball. We watched, my kids really like School of Rock, so we watched School of Rock again for the billionth time, but I never really get tired of School of Rock.
Movie.
It's a great movie. They were running around the house doing the riff from Iron Man, which made me very happy. Not the movie, the song by Black Sabbath. And so Dad took him in, opened up YouTube, showed him the real Black Sabbath playing Iron Man, and, you know, to kind of teach them, you know, this is where that comes from. And so it was great. We watched that. We hung out as a family. Yeah, School of Rock is such an elite, elite movie. Such a good movie. So we watched that, put them down, man. And I was like, I went to bed at like 8:30. I mean, I watched a little bit more of the Dodgers game. I did see Shohei hit his home run in the ninth
inning, yeah.
And as soon as he hit it, I guess 2 outs, he hit a bomb, I'm just gonna go to bed. So I crashed out. I didn't put anything on my phone. I actually just went to sleep. Good night's sleep, ready to rock.
You'll be just fine.
So good, man. Yeah, but the legend of the Rent was way hardcore. So it's so good
in that movie.
He's so brilliant in that movie. He just lets it eat.
Yeah,
that's what he does. He lets it eat in that movie. And we're obviously getting ready for the big Mother's Day weekend, everybody. So I wanted to I know my mom and dad are listening right now. Mom, happy Mother's Day to you. You are truly the GOAT. Nothing like the love of a mother. There's nothing like the love of a mother. And then, of course, to my wife, Hannah, happy Mother's Day weekend to you. I love you. You're the best mom. She's going to go to Elton John tonight with the other moms. And,
that's right. Tonight is Elton John at Petco Park.
It should be. If you see her tonight at Petco Park, no, you didn't. All right? just remember, if you see her out at Petco Park tonight, no, you didn't. I'm sure they're going to cut loose. I'm sure they're going to cut loose tonight at Petco Park. We do have a early Little League game. All of the moms are involved in said Little League game. Uh-oh. Two of the moms against two of the other moms tomorrow, 10 a.m. So they could be looking a little worse for wear. They would never look worse for wear. They could be feeling a little bit worse for wear. They always look phenomenal. But they're going to be out of Petco Park tonight, just getting after it to Elton John. So happy Mother's Day to all the moms out there. You guys are the best.
Yeah, I think Julie's watching right now on YouTube. So
sweet
happy,
angel Julie.
Happy Mother's Day, Mom.
Happy Mother's Day to Kim.
Hi, Kim.
Happy sweet. Mother's Day, Marianne. I got two moms. It's awesome to have two moms.
Kim is amazing. Happy Mother's Day to all you guys and all the Tier 1 moms out there. You're very special.
So we did
love moms. MILFs, moms, all of them.
Yeah, I know you do.
Yep.
We did have, while we were doing the roundtable yesterday, the big breaking world news. Well, it actually happened during our show. But
yeah,
it did.
We finally broke some news on Ben and Woods.
New Pope. We got to tell everybody about that yesterday. And, of course, at Channel 10, that was by far the big story because he's actually, you know, everyone, it's the first American Pope. And he's actually been here. He's done some stuff at Saints High School, because he's like from the Augustinian order of the Catholic Church. And so there was a lot of local stories to tie it in. But the biggest one everyone was like following was, is he a Cubs or a White Sox fan? And the early reporting was that he was a Cubs fan, even though he was from the fans rejoiced. They put it on the
Wrigley Field,
marquee. The new Pope, he's a Cubs fan. But then,
not so fast.
As a little more research was done and they interviewed his brother, and he goes,
I don't know where this Cubs fan stuff is coming from. He is a White Sox fan, and then they found a picture of him at the 2005 World Series cheering for the White Sox. But, there's actually a Pope now who sounds like he's a fairly significant baseball fan in the United States.
Yeah. The truth comes out, right? I mean, at the end of the day, and of course, Padre fans were going, man, he must have been really pissed about James Shields for Fernando Tatis Jr. years ago. It's nice to have a...
I mean, it feels like, you know, any Pope, if you were going to pick a team in Major League Baseball, why wouldn't it be the Padres?
Right.
Should be the correct team for any Pope to cheer for.
He probably has a little bit of a special place.
I would hope so.
Yeah, it's he's like, that's my favorite NL team. I'm a White Sox guy. Obviously, I hate the Cubs. But Padres are my favorite.
The Friars, you get the robes and everything. Seems like a logical.
It's seamless. You slide right in. I mean, you absolutely slide right into Padres fandom for sure.
I was watching for the memes all day long yesterday.
Yeah,
the Chicago memes were killing me.
Yeah,
all
they were really
long.
Good. Really,
I
good.
Saw like. The new Pope, piece of Christ, is a deep dish pizza being served instead of a cracker.
Hey, how are you?
Hey, peace Pope. Be with you.
Hey, what's his name? Pope Leo? How are you? Hey! Yeah,
the Chicago Bulls intro for the new Pope.
He comes out.
He's so good, dude. Absolutely.
Pope Leo! The 14th!
From North Carolina! Oh, so good. Hey, Pope Leo, how are you?
I saw the sports guys from SNL. Duh, Pope, duh, Pope, duh, Pope, duh, Pope.
Fantastic. Yeah, those days, this was a big day on Twitter yesterday. It really was. It was, hey, you like deep dish? Do you like Portillo's? All right, let's go down to Wiener Circle.
What's
gnarly.
I kept seeing that yesterday.
It's a drink. It's like a, I believe it's like a.
Like a Jägermeister shot?
I think it's like a liqueur.
Or,
let me look real quick. I've had it before.
Highly bitter, wormwood-based liqueur.
Liqueur.
That sounds
particularly
horrible.
Popular in Chicago.
Yeah.
Swedish spirit with unique polarizing flavor profile.
Polarizing is a good word.
That means most people hate it. It
tastes like butt, actually. Yeah. Yeah. I don't remember this being like a thing when I lived there.
Malort.
Obviously the hot dogs. I never realized, like when I moved there, people would be like, hey, how are you? Where are you from? I'd be like, Texas. Like, you don't put ketchup on your hot dog, do you? And I'd be like, no, never. I eat mustard. Hey, try a Chicago dog. And I'm like, all right, I'll eat one. Why are you assaulting me about my hot dog? Like, it's like they're not going to let you in the building. They take it so effing seriously. It's insane. It's insane. So,
what makes it the Chicago? It's all the condiments,
all the stuff on it.
It's delicious.
It's delicious.
The pickle spear, a tomato, onion, celery salt, sport pepper.
It's fantastic, dude. It really is a good
electric relish. It's a specific set of ingredients to make it a Chicago dog on a steamed poppy seed bun.
And the problem though is if you don't get a good dog, like sometimes you know how you get like the rubbery dog, Paulie. If you bite into it and it's a rubbery dog, the whole thing falls apart in your lap or on the plate.
It's the Vienna hot dog with the snap. It's got to have the right snap.
You got to have the right ability to bite through it. Look at all of us like this on the camera. Just,
they say you run it through the garden.
How did you gain all the weight?
That's how you turn it into a Chicago dog.
They were so nuts about it. Like, so day one. Hey, what do you eat on your hat dag? Mustard, and maybe I'll put a little relish on there from time to time. Oh, no. And then the first time you have one, you're like, ooh, because I don't really like tomatoes that much, but
works all together.
It really, really works all about.
Hot beef.
It's really tasty. The Malort thing I think is fairly new. At least it wasn't a thing when I was there. It could be 100 years old. I have no idea. I didn't have anybody that was into it when I was there. But man, yeah.
David J says if you love grappa but wish it tasted even worse, Malort is for you.
Grappa,
I hate that too.
I liked grappa.
Oh, you did?
I did. Well. I felt like it got me extra toasty.
It probably did.
Ouzo, same thing.
That's Greek grappa, essentially.
Greek grappa. Yeah. I kind of liked that as well. I don't know. I liked stuff that got me drunk, and I think that grappa definitely did that. So it's not bad. It's not bad at all. But, big, big day on Twitter yesterday with the announcement of Pope Leo. So when does he...
He's on. Yeah, that's as soon as the white
hired.
Smoke. He's hired. He's
no onboarding.
Already did his first homily, in the Sistine Chapel, and did the waving to everybody from St. Peter's Square.
Okay.
It's he's He's good to go for life now.
Does he have to do the HR videos and stuff?
Probably.
Like we do?
Yeah, the onboarding.
The onboarding, the HR videos, direct deposit.
Some of the worst acting in those training videos, the HR videos that you have to watch.
Oh, there's nothing worse.
They actually keeps me engaged because of how funny the acting
no
is.
No doubt.
It's like,
no doubt.
Susie was walking through the break room. It's like, hey, Susie. And the guy just pinches her in the
yeah,
butt.
Yeah, you want a piece of this? I mean, look.
Was this sexual harassment? Yes or no?
Yeah. I mean, we say that it's like hard to imagine, but I don't think it is. I really don't think it is.
I'm fascinated by when you said, you know, get your direct deposits set up. Does the Pope get paid?
I have no idea how these people make money. I mean, I don't think so. Don't you live a life of poverty? Isn't that like part of the bit?
Yeah, but there's also a ton of like travel, and I'm sure there's. I mean, he must have some.
Like a papal.
Like if he wants to buy a gift for his brother or something for Christmas, he's got to have some sort of funds for that, right?
I have no idea.
So you have to get paid somehow.
I know we don't have near enough time for this, but like, I'm not Catholic. I don't really know what the Pope does.
I have no idea.
Like, what are his duties?
He's the head of the Catholic Church. They do, you know, Sunday services in the Vatican, but he also spreads the gospel, the word of Christ, the Catholic Church. He's the leader of 2 billion Catholics around the world.
He's got to sit through benefits training today in the Vatican. He's like, I get it. Yes, here's my yes. I got my card.
What's the matching program like for the 401k here?
Yes, Pope. What is the deductible exactly?
Now, Pope leads a life of celibacy, right?
Oh yeah.
So can't say I'm on my wife's insurance. So I don't need to. Mm-hmm. I don't need to sit through this.
No, that's no. You got to get your own.
Got to go through it all.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. You're lucky in that regard. You're on your wife.
Oh
so
yeah.
You,
we have government insurance.
You don't have to do anything. Yeah. Every year I got to decide: did we spend enough? Have we not? Do I need to raise this? What's this deductible? So I have no idea. I just pretty much run with what I've been running with since I had the two kids. But well, congratulations to Pope Leo. So that's the name he picked.
Leo the 14th.
That's kind of a cool, not bad. Cool name. Pope Leo.
Leo.
What was his original name?
He was Cardinal Robert Prevost.
Okay.
Yeah.
I like it. I like it, man. So Kyle says he's got an Amex, probably like a papal Amex. You have a $25 a day per diem. Just so you know, I need you to be very judicious.
$25? $25?
You go for the cappuccino at the little coffee stand down in the Vatican Square, and the Pope, I got you.
I got
you again. It's fine.
Yeah.
It's on me. Someone's probably going to pick up the tab. The Pope walking around, you want a coffee, someone's picking up the tab.
Company
for
car is sick, Chris.
The Pope-mobile.
It really doesn't get much
better.
We
ran
than
a story from when the Pope came to California in 1987. That was John Paul II, right? And driving through the streets of L.A. in that Pope-mobile, which is essentially like a clear armored car, so you can't like take a pot shot at the Pope as you're driving by.
Yeah.
And he's just waving, standing in the Pope-mobile through the streets of Los Angeles. It was crazy.
Heather says he doesn't get paid, but he gets taken care of. That's really the way. I mean, if you can just skate by just getting taken care of the rest of your life, that's pretty good.
Never have to reach in his pocket again for anything.
No, fantastic, man. So, well, congratulations, Pope Leo. Welcome to the scene.
The papacy.
Go Sox.
Papacy. Yeah, go Sox. All right, yeah, let's get to it.
All right, let's get to
Should
it.
Should we scream at each other again? Because I'm ready.
So, yeah.
All right, this was one of the weirdest things I've ever seen. A Friday show is already naturally pretty loose and fun and off the rails for us. A Friday show after a Thursday with no Padres game, even more so. And we're kind of searching for some good sports topics to bite down on over our 4-hour morning.
No
you
problem
guys were
here.
Screaming at each other at about...
No, we were screaming to each other.
Well, it started on text yesterday and has continued into the morning, and we'll continue with our first guest later this hour. But Woods and I have some disagreements about one Rafael Devers and the Red Sox, and we'll get into it a little bit coming up next when we set the menu with Ben and Woods. Kelly's got her first check of traffic here on a Friday morning on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, want to tell you about Prize Picks. The weekend is coming up. You got plenty of playoff basketball action, playoff hockey, and, of course, a full weekend of baseball. And you can set lineups all weekend long with Prize Picks. It's daily fantasy where you're just picking more or less on stack 2 and 6 players for a chance to win up to 2,000 times your cash. It's really easy to play. Start by downloading the app at prizepicks.com. Use the code KWFN. So when you start, you're going to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. Then just look at the different players you're watching, set your lineups, and have fun. Today also is Flex Friday, so make sure you opt in, tap the checkbox in your lineup builder to be eligible for the protected play. That means you win, you win. You lose, they give you your money back. Flex Friday is games where you don't even have to win every single one of your picks. Maybe pick five, win four, and you can still win money with Prize Picks. It's easy to load your account and take your money out with MasterCard, with Apple Pay, with Venmo, however you want to do it. Very, very easy with Prize Picks. Just get it started today. Go to prizepicks.com. Prize Picks, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for details.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
I'm Emma Greed, and I'm the host of the Aspire podcast, a show where I talk to the world's most brilliant minds about building the life of your dreams. Listen to and follow Aspire with Emma Greed, an Odyssey podcast, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
It's a Friar Friday here on 97.3 The Fan, but not a Mike Schilt Friday. We had him on last week. We'll have him on next week. So
I wish we had him this week.
After all the John Boy lip reading and everything, it would have been interesting, no doubt. We will have the CEO of the San Diego Padres, Eric Grubner, joining us at 8 o'clock this morning as they get ready for a big homestand next week against the Angels and Mariners, the first ever Vetter Cup coming to San Diego next week. So Eric Grubner will be with us at 8 o'clock. We'll also have our regular SDFC Friday guest, Darren Smith, joining us once again from somewhere in Europe, as he did last week. You were gone last Friday, fake sick, actually surprising your dad for his birthday. But you are here today, so you get to talk with Darren coming up at 7:35. Have our normal features, but we have an early guest coming up in our next segment. Our friend Rob Bradford from the Baseball Isn't Boring Odyssey podcast.
And
of course, Boston guy.
He's a Boston guy.
And we thought, well, this would be a good time because yesterday Adam sent us the story about Rafael Devers being asked to fill in, move over to first base. Yeah. Now that Tristan Casas is out for the season with his, knee injury?
Yeah.
Yeah, so after all the drama of pushing him off of third base for Alex Bregman and accepting the role as a designated hitter, Devers kind of, I don't know if you want to say balked,
bristled
at the idea of now being asked to, okay, now I go play first base after all this drama. And we got into it on text with me, you, Adam, Paulie, and you went to bat for Rafael Devers.
I did.
Saying that the Boston Red Sox organization is yanking him around.
They butchered this thing. They really have. They butchered it from the get-go. And I was listening to, this isn't me, this is Dan Plesac yesterday on MLB Network saying, remember when they brought Bregman in, it was going to be this. Hey, Bregman might play a little second. Bregman may even play a little left. Don't worry about it, Rafi. Then it's, Bregman's going to play third. we're going to need you to DH. I don't want a DH. I've been working my tail off. I've reduced my errors every year. I'm working hard at this, and I want to be the third baseman. You signed me to this big deal last year to be your third baseman. I don't want to just DH. I don't want to put my glove away. No, no, no. Put your glove away.
You don't need that.
Fine. Had a really rough start to the season. Remember how bad he was at the beginning of the season? Figured it out in the DH spot. Craig Breslow comes to him, apparently, and says, oh, with Tristan out, we need you to play first. And he said, why do I have to clean up your mess? So I did. And we're going to ask Rob about all this stuff. But you and Adam were like, that's BS, and you got to be a team player, and blah, blah, blah. And I think at the end of the day, he was a team player when he came off third and DH'd. Craig Breslow, Ben, I feel like maybe a touch over his skis in that role. And the reason I say that is this. He actively tried to trade Tristan Casas, who was their first baseman. What were you going to do then, right? I do think Rafi will eventually end up at first base. There's Rafael Devers after you – remember – put your glove away. Well, can I play some? No. Put your glove away. Bregman's having a baby. Can I play third when he's gone? Put your glove down. You don't need your glove ever. Hey, man, can you grab your glove?
I'll acknowledge. Craig Breslow has mishandled it, certainly from a PR standpoint and probably from a personal interaction standpoint with Rafael Devers. However, someone has to play first base with Casas out.
Sure. So you're going to get a first baseman. That's what he said. Is like he should do his job and have somebody ready or go get someone.
You're never going to find a first baseman who's going to produce like Casas. But you have a guy.
Sure you can.
In the middle of the season.
But you're fine moving a guy that's never played first in the middle of the season to play first?
You weren't expecting Casas to get hurt. Why would you go, well, we could sign a $25 million first baseman and just put him on the bench until Casas gets hurt. You don't even have any depth anywhere.
But you have no depth at any position.
But your best player that you could put there is clearly Rafael Devers. He can already hit.
Why clearly?
Well, who is a better player than Rafael Devers?
A better first baseman? I don't know, but he's never played first base. But if you
take a first baseman from the bench who can't hit, you're now putting a bad hitter into your lineup. You don't have to do that if you put Rafael Devers there. You're just having an
Who's your DH? Well, you can put the bad hitter on the bench.
You can put your best hitter there. If you want to say whoever your best hitter that was going to be the DH, just put him at first base. But then you're asking someone else who probably hasn't played first base to play
first base. Asking people to learn how to play first base.
Pretty simple in that regard.
This is an unfortunate circumstance.
It absolutely is.
Guys get injured, and other people have to play their position. This has happened in baseball forever.
You go out and replace that player, which is what a GM and an owner should do
in the offseason. Or make a trade. But even now, I mean, even for a week or two, someone has to play first base, and it makes the most sense for Devers to do it.
Why does it make the most sense for Devers? Why not Garrett Crochet on the day he doesn't pitch?
Because he can't hit!
How do you know?
I would assume that Devers is a better hitter than Crochet, and you'd rather
But you're talking about a first baseman, not a hitter. He's the designated hitter, which is what you asked him to be. You beat him down to being the DH, and he goes, fine, I'll DH. Actually,
let's say you're playing an extra inning game. A couple of guys get hurt. Someone, and you've got no one left.
Joe Musgrove goes out and plays
Someone has to go play first base. You know, Devers makes sense to do it.
Plus, they're
paying him $31 million a year.
So when they pay you, they own you.
I mean, the money is for, yes, the money is to do what they ask you to do. That's what the money is for.
No.
If you wanted to play for free and say, but I get to pick where I play, where I'm in the lineup, I would imagine the Red Sox would be more than happy agreeing to that. If Devers said, hey, I'll play for the minimum, but you need to play me where I want and when I want, Devers would be at third base and Bregman would be wherever. But for $31 million, Devers can play at first base, at least for a while.
I mean, in a perfect world. And again, like I said, I think he will end up there. And I do believe some of this was lost in translation. I really do. And that's what a lot of people have been saying. He wasn't mad. He just said, I think I'm kind of being jerked around here. You got to understand, this is a prideful guy.
Oh, he's being jerked around.
But his pride is what got him to the big leagues. His ego, Ben, is what got him to the big leagues. That's what got him a $300 million contract. They invested in him. When they tell him, you will not be playing defense, you don't need a glove, take your glove, give it to a little kid, you're not going to need it. actually, can you come clean up my mess? Because I have no depth. Can you come clean up my mess for me? I totally get why he's saying
ultimately,
what he's doing.
Ultimately, if Adam came to us and said, we need you guys to host 10 to 2 instead of 6 to 10, I think we'd both think that's a huge mistake. But they pay us, and we would have to do it. Ultimately, that's what the money is for. Doesn't matter if we think it's the right decision or not. Now, if he moves there and he plays bad, and then they start trashing him for playing bad, that's a horrible look for the Red Sox. If he plays there, they should be extremely supportive.
Well, they're going to be fake supportive for sure. What do you think the fans are going to do to Rafi Devers, right? Like, let's ask Rob Bradford this, because does he have a case? Because there are people in chat saying, I agree with Woods, I agree with Ben. This is obviously clearly a good sports radio topic. We don't do a lot of debate on this show. I do feel like this is how we both legitimately feel. Mm-hmm. This isn't contrived. I admire the ability and willingness to stand on his business. I really do. And I think once you start doing exactly what they tell you or need you to do, even though they've told you differently a bunch of times, I think that opens a whole new Pandora's box in this whole thing. So, I mean, he said it yesterday. He's like, what happens if an outfielder gets... Why are you treating a $300 million player like a utility guy?
Yeah.
That's kind of where...
Maybe Rafi Devers signed with a bad employer. But he chose to sign with that employer, and now he is in their employ for $31 million a year. And this is what they need him to do. We'll talk.
You don't know how to play first base. It's not that hard, Scott. Tell him, Wash.
It's incredibly hard.
Yeah, you saw that. You guys saw that. It's funny. In the Red Sox game against the Texas Ranger, I think it was Josh Smith that was playing first and had no idea what he was doing. Did you see where his foot was on the bag?
Oh, yeah.
One of the guys ran flush into him. Guys, it's not as easy as everybody thinks it is. It's not. There's footwork, there's positioning, there's all kinds of stuff. He doesn't want to be embarrassed on the big league level. Without a little bit of help, you could have done this in spring training. You could have done it. Tristan Casas did not want him taking ground balls at first base. This organization, what it boils down to, is a dumpster fire right now. It's a dumpster fire.
We will talk with Rob Bradford coming up in our next segment. A little baseball isn't boring, and this is why it isn't boring, because there's so many things that
you can debate
about it. That is coming up next with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, it's Friday. Before you get to your weekend, how about taking something that's been stressing you out off your plate? Maybe for years you've been putting it off. Simply go to trustandwill.com like Woods and I did and answer some simple questions. And at the end of the process, you will have real legal documents, either a will so you can bequeath all your items to your loved ones, or even a trust where you can take your assets, put them in a trust, and help your family avoid the messy, messy costs of probate court if and when you're gone.
Yeah, costs, time, pain, all of it. It just makes sense. And again, put it off for so long because partly lazy, partly just didn't want to face the reality of needing one. But look, it's coming for all of us at some point. Make sure you're dialed in when you do. That's kind of the bottom line here. Go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN, FAN, when you check out. They're going to knock 20% off, which is incredible. They're going to ship you your estate documents for free. You grab that envelope, you throw it in the drawer, and you let your spouse know this is where it is in case something happens.
So many tier ones have done it. They realized, hey, it's not that much of a pain. The cost is affordable. You're not dealing with a lawyer in billable hours. Just get it done today. Go to trustandwill.com before the weekend. Trustandwill.com. Woods and I are still getting into it about Rafi Devers. We got Rob Bradford standing by from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Get his thoughts on what's going on in Beantown. First, though, let's get a quick check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan. So through all of this, the Boston Red Sox have put together a 20-19 record, which in the National League buries you, but in the American League puts you half a game out of a playoff spot. And we're joined right now by our Odyssey colleague and friend Rob Bradford, host of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast. Rob, it's been a while. Good to have you back here on in San Diego on 97.3 The Fan with Ben and Woods.
Oh, man, what a time to be alive. I appreciate it, guys. I always appreciate talking with you guys. You guys are some of the best. And, a little bit of chaos. A little bit of chaos in baseball.
Well, it's funny, Rob, because the three of us, absolutely reveled in, enjoyed every second of the clubhouse, inside the clubhouse on Netflix. Thought it was a good look inside of a Major League Baseball team, one that we've really never seen. We, as a show, we've been up close, we've been in, but we've never been in hitters' meetings and how to attack. I mean, I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was ballsy for them to do it. I thought it was incredible. I find myself rooting for guys, you know, tons of guys on that team now. And I'll tell you, man, like, I find myself really sympathetic to Rafael Devers. And Ben kind of goes the other way. Our boss, Adam, goes the other way. I've seen all kinds of different sentiments on social media, which is not uncommon. Kind of where do you stand and where does it stand today?
Yeah, first of all, they missed it by a year, to be perfect.
They sure did, man.
And I'll tell you, as a quick aside, I'll tell you what, they ran out of money for the last month and a half. They missed the biggest day, which was this day in Colorado where they tried to fight the Rockies. And Alex Cora agrees to an extension. I mean, can you imagine the boom mic followed around the 20 guys walking toward the Rockies clubhouse? Anyway, you know, what's done is done. But I will say this. I said, you know, I think a lot of people have screwed up here. I think the Red Sox screwed up, and I think Rafael Devers continues to screw up. You know, when he had his press conference in spring training and this was no, I'm only playing third base and that's going to be it. That's not how baseball works. Everybody knew that. The Red Sox knew that. But Rafael Devers was sort of just saying, I am trying to put my stake in the ground, a stake that isn't going to get in the ground because that's, again, not how baseball works. So the Red Sox say, all right, you know, we're only going to DH you. That's all we're going to do. We're not going to ask you to do anything else, which was a mistake also because, you know, if a lot of DHs who start want to play the field at least a little bit. But to sort of try to placate him that way was a mistake, and that led him to open up this avenue where he said, well, they said they were only going to DH me. How dare they ask me to play another position? And so that's where I tilt to the side of Rafael Devers, come on. I mean, really, it's baseball. It's baseball. If you are asked to play another position, then no matter what has happened, this isn't about, you know, trying to mark your territory or having an attempt to mark your territory, which you weren't able to do before. This is just simply about helping the team that you're signed up for 9 years more at $27 million or a year, if not more, heading into the majority of your career. This is helping your team and doing so by doing something that baseball players continuously are asked to do, which is playing another position. This isn't the Chilean miners sitting in the mine shaft, you know, saying, oh my goodness, like, how dare you ask me, you know, not poke the hole in the roof. I mean, I'm sorry, I always default to the Chilean miners, which is now dating myself, but it's one of these things where, you know, I know that a lot of people have come out and said, you know, a lot of former players and current players are saying, you know, you're asked to do something, you do it. Kevin Millar was on the broadcast the other night, and he went on sort of a rant before any of this came on. And he said, like, you think I like playing right field? No, it was embarrassing, but I did it. And obviously, there's plenty of other guys who are the highest paid guys and guys who are the lowest paid guys who are all doing this. You guys have a couple there. You have Tatis. You have Xander Bogaerts, and Bogaerts, I think, is a good example of this, is that, you know, there is a way where the organization messes up is not understanding that you got to get out ahead of something like this as far as much as you can in the off season. They didn't do that with Bogaerts. They didn't do that with Devers. And so when Bogaerts was asked at the last minute play second, he obviously wasn't happy about it,
Correct.
Right?
Correct,
just like Devers isn't happy. I mean, this is – I've had executives say – if I learned anything, it is get out ahead of this as much as possible. And in both cases, they did not do it. But ultimately, you go, you play the position because, you know, you want to win. You want to be a good teammate. And that's my long-winded way of saying I just have not seen another example where a guy said no. Even though I know and everybody in that clubhouse knows this is the best thing for the team. Even though everybody knows that probably this is where I was going to end up anyway when I signed this deal, I'm saying no because I am trying to enact my revenge where I wasn't able to enact my revenge when I had the initial press conference. I don't know if that made any sense.
It does.
That's my rant.
It does, and I'll push back just a little bit. Number one, I think based on a couple things I saw, there was a little bit lost in translation between Rafi, the translator, and the media, from what I understand. It was more of, I'll probably do it, but to learn it now on the fly, I'm not going to be ready tomorrow. So we got to give this thing a little time. There is something about me, Rob, that appreciates the, no, I'm literally doing what you asked me to do. You asked me to put my glove away. I'm putting my glove away per your directions. Per your directions. You never need to bring a glove to the field. Okay, no problem. This was your idea, not mine. It was your idea. You told me. I can't even play third when Bregman goes to have a baby. So, no problem. I'm literally doing what verbatim, what you asked me to do. Now I got to bail you out, Craig Breslow, because you don't have a clue what you're doing in this position. You saw it in the clubhouse. Do you remember... I think it was the very first episode. Devers, Breslow, and Cora sitting in the office, and Rafi had come out and said, guys, we are a last-place team. What are we doing? Why aren't we adding players to this team to make it better? And they had to go in and have this big conversation. Could there be a little bit of something personal between Breslow and Devers?
Well, there clearly is. I mean, we heard this yesterday, and I hear about the interpreter, and I've seen different things on the internet. You know, it's a tough one, right?
Yeah.
It's a tough situation. But I think that overall, the tone and the message was probably accurate. And, you know, I'll come back to when you, like you said, you made some good points. Like, I'll come back to when you said the part where, you know, hey, you're asking me to DH. I'm only going to DH. Well, that was the mistake because you can't be walking on eggshells. You can't be doing that. You can't, and this is, you cannot get caught in the middle of these things if you're the manager, if you're the GM.
No doubt. No doubt.
And that's where they were trying to placate him by saying, oh, you know what? You're only, because it never made any sense. I always said this, like, I go through all DHs who do it for the first time. They want to play the field a little bit.
Yeah.
They're better when they play the field a little bit. All of that. And so when you say absolutely no, and by the way, when you have him striking out 15 of the first 19 plate appearances to begin the year, that's not good either. And so you were left with, throughout spring training, when we were trying to guess at what was going on, we go back to spring training, you have the press conference, but even after that, he played in five Grapefruit League games. Five. And it wasn't because he was hurt. It was because, for whatever reason, he didn't want to play in them.
Yeah.
And that was them, again, trying to placate him. You cannot play both sides of the fence, and now it's coming back to, because he's going to take that window. He's going to jump through that window and do exactly what you said. Hey, you asked me to do this. Why not? And I'll say this again. Like, the one quote, which I really had a problem with, was like, next thing you know, and I'm paraphrasing.
The outfield.
Next thing you know, you're outfield. Yeah, go play the outfield. They'll never ask you to play that.
Never.
But yes, that's the point. Is that, and so you said, like, yeah, Breslow didn't have a backup plan. But I think that part of it, too, should be taken in context, because you had your everyday first baseman have a season-ending injury. And that nobody could expect that. So, yeah, did they protect themselves the level they probably should have with Abraham Toro, with Roman Gonzalez? I don't know. I do know this, another example of where they messed up in trying to placate Rafael Devers while he's taking ground balls, whether it was in spring training or in Texas on opening day or at Fenway Park before games. Hey, Rafi, go put a first baseman glove, see how it feels just in case. And they never did that.
Nope.
You know why? Because, once again, trying to play both sides of it.
That's tough.
It's our Boston colleague, Rob Bradford. And just like that, I think we're out of time. I mean, that's how...
Oh, my God.
That's how passionate we got, Rob. But everybody out there should check out his Odyssey podcast, Baseball Isn't Boring.
Quickly, do you think they move him?
Trade him?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
No, he's... Yeah. They, you know, well, through all the chaos, they also know that there's not a lot of players they can get like him. They need him.
All right, brother. Thank you so much, man. That was awesome. I knew you'd bring the heat. I knew you would.
All right. It's always a pleasure, guys. I really appreciate
Thanks,
it.
Thanks, pal.
Thanks, Rob.
I love Robbie. So good.
I actually didn't even get to ask Rob a question there. That's how fast
that went. That went like crazy.
The only thing that I wanted to bring up, and we can discuss it, just you and me as well.
We got all morning.
Boston fans, and Nate in our chat said, if Devers fails, he'll be called a bum and take heat for years.
Done. I mean, it's going to be brutal.
You know that Boston fans are passionate. And when there's that much passion, and we're seeing it here in San Diego now,
yeah,
there also tends to be a little bit of lunacy as well.
But there's always been
and
lunacy
there. You can see that Devers may be a little gun-shy because of that
lunacy. Agreed.
And you can see Xander is maybe a little PTSD from it, or maybe seeing it here in San Diego now, and that makes him hesitant to do something he's uncomfortable with on the field as well.
It's just such a... everyone's saying it's not a big ask. It's a big ask to learn a new position in the middle of a season, man. It really is.
Paulie has been working hard for how many months?
Oh, this has been a while.
Guess
it's
what?
Been like six, 7 months.
A whole new edition of Things Ben Likes coming up next.